Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. We lift and raise our hands to you, Jesus. You are our King. You're our Lord, our Master, our Savior. We honor you tonight. We love and bless you tonight. We thank you for all that you've done, for the praise reports and testimonies of the great things you did yesterday and beyond. We thank you for what you're doing right now. We thank you for the doors that you're opening. We thank you for the opportunities that you're bringing our way. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for what you're going to do in the near and distant future. We thank you for what you have in store for us. For eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, and it has not entered into the hearts of men. Those things that you have prepared for us, but you reveal them to us by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost says, you have good things in store for us. Hallelujah. You know the thoughts that you think towards us, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope, something to look forward to, something that we can lay down our lives for, something that we can look forward to and trust that no matter what's happening now, everything is going to work together for our good. Time, situations, and circumstances must align themselves up and work out for our good. Thank you that you've given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Thank you for blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We do honor you, O Most High God. We honor you with the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips with thanksgiving. We do honor you with our substance and the first fruit of all of our increase. We honor you by bringing unto you the tithes and the offerings. We honor you, Lord God, with our very lives. We honor you in speech. We honor you in character and conduct. We do honor you, Lord. And if ever we fall short of your glory, we repent and ask for your forgiveness and your mercy to be applied to us. That the blood of Jesus would be applied to us, and the blood of Jesus would cover us, and the blood of Jesus would protect us from the adversary. Oh, Father, we want to have a walk worthy of you, fully pleasing unto you in everything that we do, in word and in deed, that we live and walk above reproach. That when men speak evil concerning us, Lord God, it's not because of any wrong that we've done. They just don't agree with you, and we do agree with you. We agree with your ways. We agree with your truth, with your word. We agree with the Christ life, the life that you have called us all to live as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And we thank you for each and every one that's here tonight. We cover them in the precious blood of Jesus. Father, we cover Yvonne Garcia in the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank you for sending her our way tonight. May your hand be upon her. May her life, Lord God, never be the same. From where you brought her from to where you're taking her to, Lord God. Even taking her in ways that she knew not of, but because she trusts in you as her Savior and as her Lord, she knows that she's following the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd will not lead her astray. The Good Shepherd leads her into green pastures and beside still waters and brings restoration to her soul. Gives her peace in her inner man, in her heart, and in her mind. We thank you that you prepare a table before her in the presence of all of her enemies of the past. Thank you that no weapon fashioned against her is going to prosper, and every tongue that will rise up against her in judgment, she shall condemn and prove to be a lie. Thank you, Father God, that she shall eat of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Above all else, she will prosper and be in health, even as her soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not triumph against her, but she will overcome the gates of hell. Every attack of the enemy will only cause her to get stronger in you. She'll resist every temptation that he will bring her way. As Jesus resisted the devil in the wilderness, so shall Yvonne resist the devil in every temptation that he shall bring her way. That you will order her steps and direct her path and guide her with your eye. That her light will no longer be the same, but the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. And may her path get brighter and brighter in you, in the mighty name of Jesus. May you keep her from stumbling or falling. Keep her from the evil one, Lord God. May she walk in the glory and the power of Almighty God. May she never be the same. Never, 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 never be the same. In the mighty name of Jesus, we cover her in the precious blood of the Lamb. And she won't remember the former things, but new things you'll declare to her. You'll always give her a word in due season. Keep your hand on her, Lord God. Keep your hand on her. Put a mark on her to let the adversary know that she is yours. She's off limits to him. We cover her in the precious blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for sending us LaShiqua Sims, and we pray over her life, Lord God. We thank you that you've taken her out of her past and you're bringing her into her future. You're bringing her into the very reason why you created her, caused her to come into existence. The very reason that her mother and father came together, Lord God. May she conquer, Lord God. May she conquer every adversary and every foe that tries to come her way. I pray for the discerning of spirits, Lord God. She's able to spot the work of the enemy. She's able to spot wickedness. She's able to see it a mile off. And when she's confronted face to face, she'll possess the strength and power to resist the devil, to resist temptations, to resist wickedness, and it will flee from her in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you that LaShiqua is strong in you and in the power of your might, that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against her, but she's going to overcome. She's going to overcome. She's going to overcome because LaShiqua is an overcomer. She's an overcomer. She's an overcomer. You overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, but you're an overcomer. You're an overcomer. You're an overcomer in Jesus' mighty name. Grant unto her the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of her understanding being enlightened to know the hope of your calling and the joy of the inheritance of the saints and the exceeding greatness of power towards us who believe, the very power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead that now lives and abides within her, that she experiences resurrection life on a daily basis, Lord God. She experiences resurrection life on a daily basis, Lord God. She rises up and said, good morning, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for a great and victorious day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. I'm going to celebrate this day. For this day is a day of victory. It's a day of triumph. And she always knows that the arrow of the Lord's deliverance is in her hand. She can strike the ground. She can strike the enemy until the enemy is pulverized. In the name of Jesus.
We thank you, Father God, that your thoughts towards her are of peace and not of evil, giving her a future and a hope in you. That daily she walks with you. Daily she talks with you. Daily she eats of your word. And as she eats of your word, Father, you give her revelation knowledge. Put your word on her lips that she may declare the marvelous works of God. In the wonderful name of Jesus. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Jesus says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. He says he wants you to know him the way he desires to be known. No more shackles, no more pain. Everything in your past is broken off of you. You are free. You are free in Jesus. And you can soar. You can soar. You can soar on wings of an eagle. Remember not the former things. New things do I declare unto you. He says, I am your covering, I am your shelter, I am your refuge. Simply trust in me. Father, we thank you. We thank you for bringing them our way. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. How are you tonight?
Good.
It's good to see all of you tonight. Bless God.
See you too, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Tonight, thank you, praise team. You can. Tonight, I want to share a few things with you. And then we're going to bring this evening to a close. I want to start by saying we serve an awesome God. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. And he just keeps doing stuff. I mean, he just keeps on. And it's an awesome thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great thing. So we've been sharing with you each time we come together something that God has done in our midst. And today he's done something else. Hallelujah. Today, Sister Diana, where's she at? She's trapped in the room with the kids. Today, Sister Diana received a promotion. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory. Celebrate with her of the goodness of the Lord. Now the awesome thing is it was hers before she even put in for it. Amen. And there's some other details about her her blessing. She had been waiting for a season for her promotion, and it's come. But the awesome thing is both her and her husband got a promotion in the same month. Somebody say double. Somebody say double. Double. God promoted both of them, husband and wife. Isn't that awesome? That's just how good our God is. And he's not going to stop. It's only going to get better. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm next. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. She received a phone call today. And she's saying goodbye to where she was and hello to where God's taking her to. In Jesus' mighty name. So we celebrate. Hallelujah. And so I want to release, not always, I purpose to anyways. Sometimes things may happen and either some of you leave before the service is over, and we do try and cover those who are here during the service as well. When we pray the blessing over each and every one. And we don't serve God simply for the blessing, okay? We serve him because we love him. We serve him because he gave his son Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. Amen. We serve him because if it were not for him, we'd be on our way to hell. If we were dead, we'd already be in hell. But since we're alive, we would be on our way. But we serve him out of love and out of a pure heart, if you will. But he's just a good God, and he can't help but be good. Good is his nature. And so it's out of that goodness that, according to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1, it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Hallelujah. And so he's just good, and he wants to bless his sons and daughters. That's his desire. He wants to bless. He wants to empower us, and we'll look at the scriptures tonight, I believe. He wants to empower us to be a blessing, but we have to be blessed first. He wants to bless the works of our hands as we are doing things that are upright in his eyesight. He wants to bless our future as well as our present. He even wants to bless our children and our children's children down to the third and fourth generation, and if they continue to process their children and their children's children and their children and their children's children, and we'll just have a lineage of kingdom of priests coming from our loins, and they'll be blessed and they'll be prosperous and they'll be winning people to Jesus just like we do now. But I want to release that over you tonight, and I just want to share a few passages of scripture with you. I just felt stirred in my spirit. I was listening to my pastor today, Pastor Rod, and they were sharing out of this particular passage. And today, for some reason, it just really just, not that it just hit, because I knew about this before, but it was like to release that to the congregation that they may receive it. We know about the 30-fold, amen? We know about the 60-fold. And we know about the 100-fold. And some of us may have received in those measures, and many may not have received in those measures, but there's more than just the 30, the 40, and the 60, or the 30, 60, and 100. 30, 40, and 60, whatever that is. There's more. As a matter of fact, God says he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out till we don't have room to contain it. There's more. Can we experience that in our day and time? Yeah. They were an agricultural society, And so they depended on the rain to come in its season. And God poured out in abundance, and they reaped in abundance. But we live in a different time, but we serve the same God. And he's not limited by the fact that we're not farmers now. Although we do sow seed, he's not limited by the types of occupations that we have. As long as it's above reproach, as long as it's legal, amen, something that you can do and blessing the works of your hands that would be pleasing in the eyesight of God, God can bless that just like he blessed the farmer. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. Some of you need more convincing than others. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Father, we thank you for the word that's about to go forth in Jesus' mighty name. When you get there, say amen. Deuteronomy chapter 1, fifth book of the Bible. Hallelujah. It's good to see so many of you out tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Sister Shanice. There's only one of me. Amen. It feels so good that somebody. It would have been wonderful if everybody would have said it, but it's. You're right. You only said it because I said something. Amen. And we do want to extend a warm and gracious welcome to our guests, Sister LaShequa Sims and Sister Yvonne Garcia. And then also I see a gentleman here in the back. Sir, if you don't mind me asking your name. Yes. Good. Amen. Thank you for coming. You're from out of town doing construction out in this area, and praise God. We welcome you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you for coming. We welcome you and you ladies in the wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you for coming. And if there's any other guest, first-time guest, no. All right. Praise God. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Are you there? Okay, now we really need to do this tonight. Hallelujah. So put your finger there and don't lose Deuteronomy chapter 1. Let's make this confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never be the same. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. And then we have the words on the board for those who did not bring a Bible with them. And if you have it on your smartphone or your iPad or what have you, electronic gadgets, that'll work too. Just make sure you have something in writing, though. You never know when these things can go down on you. Yeah. And the way they're talking about with the internet and letting others control it, you might be shut off from the internet and have no say-so whatsoever. I paid my bill. be calling Sprint up and who else and all these other carriers. What's some of the other ones? Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, Mobile. What is that? Mobile? T-Mobile. All these other, you be calling them up. Sorry, they shut it down on us. But I paid my bill. You notice they don't give you a credit when something goes wrong with your phone. Or maybe they give you a credit, but they don't give me no credit. Take your phone into the shop and let them service it. They don't give you no money back for that downtime. But anyways, have it written. Get you a real Bible and hold on to it. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain, over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dezihab. I may have pronounced those names wrong, but if I did, I think I was close enough. And we'll just keep moving. Verse 2, there are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. How many days? Everybody agree with that? Everybody's translation says 11? What does it say on the board? There are 11 days' journey from Horeb, Mount Horeb, by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. So from the mountain that they were at, where they received the law and all, to the place that God was taking them into, Canaan land, 11 days. Just 11 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. Should have been in there on a Friday. But what was only 11 days away took them 40 years. Okay? And the 40 years that they remained in that wilderness was not because that was God's plan and purpose for them. If that was the case, I don't believe God would have had Moses put that it was just an 11-day journey. But there was something wrong within the children of Israel that God was trying to work out of them. They could have got it worked out in 11 days. I mean, every day in their journey, God could have been working something out of them. You know what the Apostle Paul said? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. They could have had that going on daily and just went right on into Canaan land. They still would have had to have fought the enemy. But nevertheless, the journey would not have taken them so long. But because he took them out of Egypt, but they still had Egypt in them, which is one of the reasons why they created the calf to worship, because they learned that kind of worship in Egypt. They didn't learn that kind of worship from their ancestors. We see how Abraham was. And how Abraham would build an altar and he would offer up a sacrifice and he would worship God. We see in the beginning of time when after Adam and Eve had Cain and Abel, and Cain and Abel brought an offering to the Lord, and Cain brought of the firstlings of the flock. Abel brought of the firstlings of the flock, and Cain brought of the fruit of the land, and God was pleased with Abel's offering, but he was not pleased with Cain's offering. So they had worship in their DNA, if you will, spiritual DNA. They had worship in their heart. They grew up knowing that. When you get to Jacob, you see that Jacob, when he got to that place, and he renamed that place Bethel because he said, this is the house of God. You see, Jacob, he poured out oil on that place and anointed that rock. He knew something about worship. He said, this is the house of God. And when he came back 20 years later, he stopped at that place again. God told him to stop right there. And he did the same thing. He poured out water and he poured out oil. He offered up an offering. They had worship in them. And they were worshiping the one true and living God. But in Egypt, where they worshiped many gods that were not gods, and the heathen had their gods, Molech and the Asherahs and Baal, and they got caught up into that kind of worship, and it became a stumbling block for them, especially when you go from the transition of the patriarchs to the judges and then from the judges to the kings, and you start seeing Well, Saul, he was unfit. David, he was a man after God's own heart. He was a good king. Solomon started off good, but then he ended up giving himself over to idolatry because of the women that he was engaging in relationships with. And they led him away from God. And because of Solomon's disobedience, God split the kingdom and established a northern kingdom with their capital being Samaria, and then a southern kingdom where their capital was Jerusalem. And so God says he was going to watch over Jerusalem because that was his place. But as far as the northern kingdom, they were the first ones to go into captivity. And they had this idolatrous type of worship. They had the king after Solomon's son became king because he wasn't doing right. There was another man by the name of Jeroboam, and a prophet had came to him and said, God is going to give you the kingdom. And he was supposed to do right, but instead of doing right, he did completely wrong. And he established a system of worship that the children of Israel never recovered from. There was no good king that came out of the northern kingdom. All because of their type of worship. We worship the one true and living God, and we can't take worship lightly or for granted. Amen. People out there worship many things. They have idols, they have statues. Buddhists, you know, they do what they do. Hindus do what they do. Hindus have millions of gods. We have one God manifest in the form of three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Not three gods, one God. They make up the Godhead. That's how God has revealed himself. And he has taught us the pattern of worship. And God says, you shall have no other God before me. You shall worship no other God. So we worship the one true and living God. But the children of Israel, they learned that idolatrous type of worship while they were in Egypt. And so when Moses was up there on the mount for those 40 days, they didn't understand what was going on. As for this Moses, we don't know what's happening to him. So Aaron, you make us a God. Make us a God that we can worship. Make us a God that the God that has delivered us out of Egypt. And so they put together this calf. Where did they get the idea of the calf? They got it from Egypt, from the world. We don't want to bring in the world's worship into the church or into the kingdom or before our God. That worship is insufficient, inadequate, and unacceptable. Woo! I'm preaching better than your response, but I'm going to keep on moving. Amen? No, God says you will worship me in spirit and in truth. It doesn't matter whether you're in Oakland or in Sacramento, in Vallejo or in Rodeo. It doesn't matter whether you're in Stockton, Modesto, or wherever you are. But you will have a form of worship where you will worship me in spirit and in truth. Out of your heart, you will worship the one true and living God. Amen? And so, here Moses has gathered them together, and he's speaking these words to them, and he says in verse 2 again, there are 11 days' journey. Now, what was keeping them in the wilderness? Their bad habits, their bad ways, their bad patterns, their complaining, their murmuring. They even got into sexual immorality. When Moses came down off of the mount, because God, he was up there caught up in the glory of God, and God was revealing things to him, and then all of a sudden God says, get down. Go back down there. And Moses is like, what, what's up? Get down there. The people have sinned. And Moses couldn't believe it. No, God, they're all right. Because a good shepherd always wants to believe that the sheep are all right. But sometimes the sheep ain't all right. And God says, get down there, because the people have gotten caught up into idolatry. And he came down, and not only had they made that molten calf, but later on you'll see where, if you read through the scriptures, you'll see where they had orgies and things like that. Now, I know that might be some language that's not good for your children to hear. It's not that it's not good for them to hear, but, you know, there's certain things you don't want to introduce them to too early. But nevertheless, if you don't teach them, the world will. So they were doing all sorts of stuff. And when you read through the Old Testament, don't let people tell you not to read the Old Testament. You need to read it. It's written for our admonition, for our learning, for our examples. If we don't read it, we won't know what the admonitions and the learnings that we need to learn. We need to know what kind of examples and how God made examples of people that didn't do what he expected them to do. Because this generation now thinks that we can live any old kind of way, and it's acceptable because we got Jesus Christ now. God didn't like it then, and he does not like it now. The difference now is God gives us the power to overcome that stuff. Amen? Hallelujah. Where's the greater one? Where's the greater one? Where's the greater one? All right, on the count of three. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Do you believe that? It's not based on your feelings. We had such a glorious time Monday night at QLM. God was touching the hearts of men in QLM. We had a blind man come in, and we laid hands to pray that he be healed of his blindness. And I received his healing for his blindness. What do I mean by that? I believe God has healed him. I believe he's going to come back walking, seeing. But we had some good teachings that went forth, too, from some of the brethren. And as they were sharing, my spirit got further stirred. Brother Joshua, do you remember what you shared? Give us a little taste of it. Stop. Yeah, because you didn't you do that Monday night? Okay. Stop. You've heard that before. You know that's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. According to the power that's at work within us. Now, when he shared that, I don't know if he was flowing in that direction or not, but when I'm listening, it doesn't matter who's up there. I'm listening for the word of God. I'm listening for truth. But as he shared, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. If the power is not working in us, God gets limited. Excuse me, it was holy. God gets limited. That was too. Maybe I need some wah-wah. Wah-wah-wah. Thank you. All right, excuse me for that little intermission. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to. What does the word according mean? Depends on. That's pretty good. I like that. Depends on. Anybody got something else they want to add to that? Because of? Okay. Anybody else? Based upon. according to, based upon, because of, what was yours again, Sister Sharon? Depending on, those are something you should really write down. Amen. Depending on the power that is at work within each and every one of us. If the power is not at work in us, then God is limited in what he can do. But if the power is working in us, then God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask, think, or even imagine, according to, I think, Amplified Translation. So God can become limited, and just like he was with the children of Israel, ultimately, God will have his way, but how many have to die in the wilderness in order to see that take place? In other words, never getting to the place to see the promise of God fulfilled in your life. Never getting to the place to seeing your destiny. It is according to the power at work. So it depends on the power working in us. And if the power is working in us, then God is unlimited in what he is able to do. It took 40 years for the power to work them into Canaan land. It only had to take 11 days. Now, when you read it, and you do need to take time to read it, why they were stranded in the wilderness for so long, why they were stuck in the wilderness for so long, you see, there were, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, about the various sins that they were committing and the rebellion against God. Think about it. As soon as God parts the Red Sea, I don't know about you, but that, you know, to see God do something like that, I mean, you go out to a body of water and you see how much water that is. That's enough for me, just the amount of water. And to see God part it and then have you walk across on dry ground and you go across and it doesn't stop there, but you turn back and you see your enemy coming in after you. And then when the last one of you gets on shore, and the last one of them gets down in the middle of the water, God closes the water up on him. Before he does that, he takes the wheels off, like that was gonna, you know, the wheels are really gonna help him through with all that water crashing on him. But I believe God has a sense of humor. But he stripped the wheels off of the wagon, and they were trapped and couldn't do anything. And then God closed the water on them, because God says, your enemy that you see now, you won't see anymore. And that's in the natural, and that's also in the spirit realm as well. You got an enemy? I'm not talking about necessarily a person. And I'm not even talking about necessarily a demon. It could be a demon. But you got an enemy, you got a problem, you got an issue, you got something plaguing you. God can part the Red Sea, take you across on dry land, and then close it on your enemy, and you'll never have to deal with that enemy again. Amen. That it's not just good. It's God's word, and God is good. That's what makes it good. So, 11 days. Everybody say 11 days. 40 years. Now, we live in a fast food society. Fast this, fast that. Fast track society, if you will. We'd all prefer 11 days as opposed to 40 years. But it took them 40 long years, because God had to work out of them what Egypt worked into them. And that's the process that we go through when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He works out of us all of the stuff that the world, the flesh, and the devil worked in us. That process can take 11 days or 40 years. You can live through it, or you can die in the midst of it. But it's really up to us as individuals. How is God limited? It's a test. According to the power
If the power is not at work in us, God is limited. But if the power of God is working, how do I know, Pastor, that the power is working in me? When you're not doing the same things you used to do. Don't try and convince me that the power comes in you and it don't work. You know, I took a jumper, you know, one of those portable jumper starter things. I took one of those things back to Harbor Freight because this will make a point. Came out yesterday morning, jumped in the Lexus. Not bragging on having a Lexus. It's just a car. Pushed the push starter. Nothing. Man. Did it again and heard a clunk, clunk. I'm like, man, that could be the starter or something. So, anyways, I thought, I didn't know whether the jumper cables were in the trunk, and I didn't feel like getting them out of the trunk. I thought they might be in the van with Pastor Lucia. She's at work. Van is on the other side. I said, let me go, because I can just keep one of those around anyways. Get one of those jump starts so I can just keep it charged up and then carry it around just in case I might need a jump, somebody else might need a jump, and I can just put the cables on there and fire up. And away we go. I got that thing, and it didn't work. Plugged it into the wall, pushed the little adapter into that little hole, and the light was flashing, but it wasn't constant. And so to make a long story short, I took the thing back. Because it didn't work. Supposed to work, supposed to put out power. But it didn't work. Guess what worked? Well, we wouldn't know what worked, but let me help you. The little battery charger thing that Kent bought, that kit, a little bitty kit. I said, I thought about that after I bought that other stuff. I took it. I put that little bitty thing on there, plugged it into the wall, let that battery charge up for about an hour, went out there, and it fired right up. What's the point? The power working in us. The Holy Ghost don't come inside of you, and then you just like plug the adapter into the, or God plugs this adapter into you, and the thing don't put off no power. No. Holy Ghost releases power, and this is how we know that the power is at work, because we're not doing the same things we used to do. We've been set free from those things by the mighty power of Almighty God. We don't have the same interests. We don't have the same desires no more. We don't even like to keep the same company no more. Amen. Why? Because the power is at work. People expect you to be the same way. They don't care about you going to church. It's when you become the church, that's when they have the problem. You can go and you can sing and you can shout and you can snot and do all that stuff and then go out there and drink and cuss and smoke and do all of those stuff that, you know, people do. And then, oh, praise God. Yeah, you go to church and all of that, but let you become the church. Let the power of God start to operate in you. Then all of a sudden you start disturbing the darkness. They look at you like, well, who do you think you is? You used to do this too. And you're like, I ain't nobody, but I received Jesus. And he made the difference, and the power of God is at work in me. It's not judging you by rules and things like that. It's like, no, the power don't come in you and lie dormant. You know, it's like having a useless battery charger. That thing didn't work. The car wouldn't turn over. I took that little thing that goes to a Harley battery like this and like that. Lexus battery like that and like that. And if you've seen the size of those clips that I put on just to charge it, I'm like, I wonder if that's grabbing it enough to give it a charge. Because I had these bigger cables on there, and they couldn't do anything for the car. That's like man-made, and this is Holy Ghost. Amen? And that's for each and every one of us. Say 11 days, I'm almost done. Okay, give me 60 seconds. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month. Now, there were 11 days journey, but it says, and it came to pass in the 40th year, this is verse 3, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. After he had slain Sihon, king of the Amorites, and dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, which dwelt at Astaroth in Andriah. On this side of Jordan in the land of Moab began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord your God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Some of us, God is saying, you've been in this place too long. And it's time to get up. And it's time to move on and move past things. You've heard people tell you, get over it. And you didn't like it and got offended by it. But actually, that's what we need to hear. That's what we need to receive. Get over it. Time to move on into another place. Because God ain't going to sit there and babysit you. Turn you and take your journey. Go to the Mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh thereunto, in the plain, in the hills, and in the valley, and in the south, and by the seaside, to the land of the Canaanites, and unto Lebanon, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And I spake unto you at that time, saying, I am not able to bear you myself alone. This is Moses speaking to them. He couldn't do it by himself. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. Verse 11 is the key verse. Underline it, highlight it, hold fast to it. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as ye are, and bless you as he hath promised you. I'm done. Stand to your feet. I want to give you an opportunity to present an offering to the Lord. I'm not going to tell you how much to give. That'll be between you and the Father. But I'll put something out there. Depending on where you are financially. If you have it. If you don't have it, just give what you have. If you have nothing, pray and ask God for the opportunity to be able to give and sow seed. If you have very little, give $1.11. Or give $11.10. Or give $111. Or give $1,101 or $10. But wherever you are on the spectrum, give as you are able. Why do I say the 111? Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 11. Let's believe God together. Now, I hope some of you, you know, that are coming up early, that you hear this, because I want to come into agreement. Amen? That verse says, the Lord multiply you 1,000 times over. And I believe it's time to move on. I believe it's time for us to move on from this place. I've been like this. I remember renting years ago, and they would raise our rent, and you either had the choice of paying that high rent or going to arbitration and fighting to keep the rent at a certain level, or you'd move on, and then move on. And that happened a couple of times, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if this ever happens again, I want to buy. so that nobody could ever raise my rent up on me ever again. And it happened again, and that's when the Lord enabled me to buy. So we're going to start looking beyond this. I had a conversation with the owner of this place, and I didn't get in the flesh, but I didn't pull no punches. And I hate it when you have weak believers. I don't hate the believer, but when you have weak ones, and instead of taking a stand for what we represent and believe in, you bow down and cower down to the ungodly. So this person next door to us just moved in and complained about the noise. And I get another phone call about noise, and I'm like, we're a church. It's like moving next door to a studio, a music studio. You're going to hear the music. And if they had Jesus in them, and then he got offended because I said, well, you trying to say they don't have Jesus? Well, I'm like this. If you got Jesus in you, and you hear Jesus over here, it's got to be some kind of agreement. And like, yeah, that's all right. I might not do it like them, but it's all right. We're brothers and sisters. We're on the same team. But when they complain, and I'm like, man, I will move. I told them, I said, well, just go ahead and move then. No, I don't want you to do that. So I'm ready to move. Amen. Amen. When we came here, I believed God that we were going to take over this building. This property. But if that's not the thing, because our plans were to take over it all and kick everybody out. In a kind way, you have, at the end of your lease, we're going to be using the space. Because I want to be free in serving God. I want to be free in the ministry. I like the way we were birthed into the body of Christ. You know, others are different, and I always tell you, we're not better, we're just different. Amen? We're not better, we're just different. And in our difference, we don't discriminate against them, and they shouldn't discriminate against us. Because, you know, if they ever find themselves in a trench, they can call on us and we can get them out of there. Amen? Hallelujah. One thing we know how to do is effectively pray. And the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. But you start doing that kind of stuff, and it's like, I believe in integrity, taking care of business and all. When you complain about that, goodbye. I'm done. So you can pray that God will temper my spirit and wait things out. Or you can start looking around for property and looking around for buildings with me and see where else God wants us to go. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's come into agreement. 1-1-1 in whatever increment you can. And if you don't have it, bring it Sunday. Because I don't think I'm going to make it with these ones. Father, we come into agreement. Corporate agreement. That you will show yourself strong to those who have that loyal heart towards you. That you will demonstrate your power and might in the midst of the land, in the midst of the heathen, in the midst of this city. Lord, you planted us in the city of Antioch. Now, Father God, cause us to flourish, prosper, and grow. Continue to give raises, promotions, increase. Continue to give jobs. Continue to add, Father. We speak that word that we will become 1,000 times more. Multiply us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that here in this land, we will experience your mighty power and outstretched arm, and your name will be glorified. And we thank you and give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. So we bless you now, and we thank you that your hand is upon us. We thank you that your hand is on the offering. Each and every person that is given tonight, Father, let them know, Lord God, that you're going to bless them to do even more. That they're going to see the mighty power of God like never before. As the children of Israel saw your hand in the wilderness and bringing them even into Canaan land, marching down, knocking down their enemies, one nation after another, little by little, till they conquered the entire land here in Antioch, Lord God, that we are able to take the land, possess the land. Little by little, we conquer, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Bless your servants. Multiply their seed sown. Provide their every need. Let them lack no good thing, but receive in abundance the precious promises of God. We thank you and give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I can't live without you. I can't live without you. Did Sister Journey leave? Deacon Patton? Praise God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for all of our guests. We bless them in the wonderful name of Jesus. We thank you for the praise report of the Patton household. We rejoice with them and celebrate with them. Two promotions, Lord God, all in the same month, double. And may you continue. I pray and release the power of your blessing over your sons and daughters, that the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and that above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph and conquer the gates of hell, because you are the church of the living God. You are the pillar and ground of truth. You are the foundation and the mainstay, the prop and the support of the truth of God's word, the gospel that is to be preached in every nation, to every tongue, tribe, and kindred. For this gospel shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. I cover everyone in the blood, see them safely to their destination, so that no evil befalls them, no plague comes near them, and no hurt, harm, or danger comes their way. Guide them safely, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody who agrees, said amen. Amen. All right, give the Lord a hand of praise. Greet your neighbors in Jesus' name.